A lifestyle of glamour and elegance could be the pursuit of a lot of young people, as it only appears on their social media feed. So yeah, we're talking about this pseudo sense of glamour, or 伪精致 in Chinese, that apparently is suffocating some young people. And, well, I guess we need some examples to what exactly are we talking about, sort of as a mentality or a social phenomenon for some people, that apparently we see a major gap between the virtual world in the real world.
True, this lifestyle is gaining a lot of attention on social media and also by news organizations. And in one of the reports that was sort of blasting this way of life, they do have some examples. For instance, some female postgraduate students spent nearly 10,000 yuan in decorating their dormitory. They purchased feathers, LED lights, and lace curtains to make their small room look like a themed hotel room. However, the Weibo account of China Fire Control pointed out that these could amount to potential fire hazard, and therefore they asked them to change it. And before the security risk was pointed out, most online media reports praised these girls for creating a sense of ceremony and stylish and style to make the fairy dormitory, and the pursuit of delicacy became a media highlight. So there seems to be a lot of interpretation of this lifestyle. Obviously, one form is to call it a sense of delicacy, and He Yang will prefer using the word a sense of glamour. And otherwise, I would think of it as purely just a lifestyle, a way of life. I mean, at least a image that people would like to project about themselves.
Interesting. Well, there's some people who are saying that there's another key word here that's a pseudo sense. So saying that it's a fake sense. Mm-hmm. It's something that's only being portrayed, but far from one's real life. When we talk about the mundane things of, you know, living a daily life of having breakfast and all those things, but to portray yourself on social media or in the eyes of other people, and then you make it into something to appear to be so much more fancier. Neela, any examples by research or by anecdote? What do you think?
Well, in my own experience, like I said before earlier, before we started the show, I think each person these days at least is a little bit guilty of, you know, trying to live two parallel lives. We do have, in the era of social media, each one of us, unless you're completely not on social media, but if you do have a social media account, you definitely have two alternate lives. You have the real life, and then you have the on-screen life. And I think in the era of a screen, where we live on our screens and we monitor what other people are doing on social media, for example, it's become like that platform where we are allowed to escape the realities we portray to our friends and family on a reality, because at the end of the day, we want to escape the reality that we all live. We want that life that we wish for that we can't really have in real life. So why not have it or fake it until you make it, at least on social media?
But to what extent should we allow for this discrepancy between our real life and our social media life? Because there's a very interesting example also provided by media. A Japanese internet celebrity always shares delicate food, party with friends, and her beautiful home on Instagram, attracting many netizens online. However, a variety show recorded her daily life, her real life, which revealed that her real life was much more different from what was shown on social media. For instance, she only chose the food that is suitable for taking photographs to show a sense of beauty. Mm-hmm. She hates eating vegetables, but she would order a big bowl of vegetable because the color looks good in photo. Her room was a mess, but she would pull all the things together to make room for a clean corner for taking photographs. And she would order two sets of food to make people think she was dining with a friend. In fact, she just ate alone. And the falsely created beauty makes many people jealous, and the real life, well, in fact, her real life would probably suck. I mean, I would imagine my life totally suck if I were living in the same apartment as her. I mean, so I saw a picture of that. It's just simply too messy. Too messy.
And Lai Ming is an organized guy. If you've seen his desk, you'd be astounded. It looks as if nobody sits there. That's how clean it is.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it just depends on, well, this person could be clean or not. It doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, I think everyone has this alternate lifestyle they would love to the world to tell. And also to just remember, social media is not about me or you. Your social media, you don't actually own that social media account you have. It belongs to the followers. And that's why, like, this Japanese celebrity goes to the lengths, because she knows if she just posts her regular messy room, she's going to lose that validation she gets from the likes and the comments from people. And that's what makes her happy. So, of course, she will give the audience what they want to see. And the audience, of course, they do know that, they do understand that in the background, there is completely, she might be a completely different person. Mm-hmm. The same way, I would say, there is a reason why sometimes when you're on places like Facebook, even on WeChat, you see people looking so different, somebody looking so beautiful, somebody, you know, portraying this kind of life or this place they live, or they took a photograph in a fancy hotel, and we tend to like it and comment on the photo and, you know, validate this person's feelings. But in reality, we work with this person, maybe it's your own brother or sister, and you actually know the reality is different. So at the end of the day, it's not just these people doing this because they want to do it. It's because we allow them to do it and we entertain them.
So we actually essentially held them hostage.
Yes. Well, not necessarily hostage. We actually fuel others to behave in, to fake their lives, to the point that now there are actually websites where you can, if you don't want to take up too much time of your time, mm-hmm. perhaps finding a place to take a photograph to fake your life, you can actually purchase photographs and have them change to your, you know, to your likeness, and
yeah.
then you post
filters.
Them or
mm-hmm.
yeah, not even filters, it's actually a photo, a fake photo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could just, like, maybe they could just paste your face on somebody else's body on a holiday in Fiji, and you post it online, and your friends and followers will actually believe that you are actually in Fiji, whereas you're probably somewhere in Shijingshan, you know. So, and this just goes to show how it's become very much acceptable for all of us to have two lives in one.
I don't know whether acceptable or not it is, but it seems just to be...
Or more tolerated. It's a lifestyle that everybody's tolerating these days.
Well, that having two lives? I thought that it was more like people are kind of... living in the illusion that other people on social media just have great lifestyle and really colorful lives. And when you compare it with your own, and then you feel really disappointed in yourself. And I thought that was the gist of the game. And what's really interesting is also after, you know, all that initially what happened, like you guys have mentioned, I mean, this is now... selling a lifestyle is a huge business, and very much of where this business is being conducted is on social media. We see all these fashion bloggers, lifestyle influencers on Instagram, YouTube, everywhere. And then they're constantly preaching and selling this lifestyle to you. And of course, at face value, it looks so beautiful. And but how is that constructed, and what kind of relationship should I thought I was just a viewer, but apparently I'm the potential consumer. What is my relationship with what I'm seeing? And that is all very, very complicated and very, very interesting too. And think about all the money that is behind this. When there are plenty of examples. One thing comes to mind is, I don't know if you guys have heard of Goop. That's that website started by Gwyneth Paltrow. And as an actress, sorry, Gwyneth, haven't seen you in movies since 1995, maybe. But her lifestyle website is hugely successful. She's a rich Hollywood... Is she still an A-lister? I'm not so familiar with this stuff anymore. But certainly she can hold huge conventions. facilitate really fancy activities, and people buy the lifestyle, the $1,000 salad or a nut grinder, stuff like that. And why do people pay for it? Well, it is that lifestyle that you're made to believe that you can have.
Yeah,
I think it's in this case, when it comes to people like so big celebrities, it's all about each one of us like to have a role model. And if we have a role model, we want to live like that person. And we believe, for example, if Gwyneth Paltrow said today, I use a knife that's this brand, I also, if I'm a follower of hers and I'm a staunch follower, I will actually go and spend time maybe on Amazon, maybe on Taobao, looking for the same particular brand, because I want to feel like, I want to be in her shoes. I want to feel how she feels. And then we tend to follow these celebrities blindly. But then with celebrities, it's a completely different thing, because we know they do have money. They make a lot of money. So their lifestyle is not actually fake. It's real life, what you see, what they post online. The problem comes in with influencers, the KOLs that we see these days. Like a random person, a random friend, just the other day they had 500 followers, the next day they have 10 million followers, and the next day they're trying to tell you how much. Today they're telling you how much they like this particular product. Next week they're telling you about a competitor's product. And it gets really confusing, and that's where it becomes really dangerous, because in most cases they're selling you probably what they actually don't believe in. And I think that's where the problem is.
Yeah, I don't deny that we should all have the freedom to pursue the kind of lifestyle we look forward to or look up to. But I think we have to consider the effect that the prevalence of such images have on people. I mean, here in this country, we are talking about how young people born after the 1990s, after 1990, the post-1990s generation, they become almost a half of the people who use online lending platforms, and they owe almost 20% of all credit card debts in this country. And so the effects on young people, perhaps at least in this country, is that they are more and more likely to live a lifestyle beyond their means.
That's the part that I find is really interesting, and also I think that contributes to the pseudo sense of this glamorous and elegant lifestyle, because people sometimes, okay, so if you don't have the money, so, and you're consuming and pursuing this kind of lifestyle, that makes me a fake. But if I have the money, then that makes me a real exquisite woman. Is that what we're talking about?
No, but then
here?
if you're actually, okay, let's just say like if you don't have a credit card like me, like you've never owned a credit card, and there's a reason why I did that, because then I would end up, you know, raking up debts. So I would say, like, for example, there are genuine people who would actually, maybe they're just broke people, unfortunately, but then they really want to drive a Ferrari, and they would do absolutely everything to save up and buy that Ferrari. Okay.
Well, and then just rent it for a night. It's not that expensive.
It's not the same. So these people, actually, they really have that desire for getting certain, to have a certain lifestyle, and they'll try to live beyond their means by, for example, buying expensive things. Instead of buying just a regular Toyota Corolla, they will go for a Ferrari. But it doesn't mean they are fake. They're actually real, and they're just living in the moment. They will just, you know, tomorrow will come and I will figure it out as well.
Okay.
But there are those people who, like you said, they rake up like debts, and that's a really, really bad trend.
So affordability, that's one thing. And then the other thing is appropriate. Is it appropriate? I mean, certainly decorating one's dormitory and with feathers, LED lights and lace curtains, that's totally up to their own choice. I mean, as long as they comply with fire hazard control, that sort of thing. Yeah, it's totally up to them. But what about, let's say, wearing short skirts to school? I mean, in Japan, it's considered okay. I mean, a lot of young schoolgirls, they do that. Whereas in a different country that's say more conservative, even in China, I don't believe a lot of parents would support their kids in wearing short skirts to school. Is it appropriate? I mean, if young kids go so far as to do something that's so different from the social norm, should we continue to tolerate it as just an alternative lifestyle, or should we do something about it? That's one thing. And also consistency. The example about the Japanese internet celebrity who sort of live a double life. I mean, is she comfortable with that kind of life? If she is, I mean, maybe that makes it better. But if she's not, if she's torn apart by this dual life, I mean, why do it?
That's another really important point I think we need to sort of visit here. That is, some people are saying they're being suffocated by a pseudo sense of glamour in lifestyle. So this part is what I can't really understand. Suffocating, then that would mean you feel like you're trapped. So is it the person that's actually taking the pictures and living this pseudo lifestyle trapped, or is it us, the viewers?
I think
we're trapped.
It is the viewers. I feel trapped every day when I go on my Facebook page, for example. I see people who just overdo it. I'm like, I get it. You have kids. I get it. You're in a relationship. So is everybody else. So there are people who actually, you know, and you cannot unfriend them because, you know, they are your friends, and then, you know, you don't want them to feel bad about it and you don't want them attacking you. Why did you unfriend me? So you have to just keep on tolerating these kinds of people. So for them, when they're doing it, they actually feel like their confidence level has been boosted, because at the end of the day, when we post these kinds of things online, it's not about, it's always about the happy things, the good things. No one posts a photo of them just waking up in the morning. And even those people who post photographs of them, even on WeChat, saying, I woke up like this, they didn't actually wake up like that. They woke up, went and did some makeup, and then went back to bed and pretended they were sleeping. So we have to kind of like, it's really annoying, but you have to tolerate, because this person is, you're somehow connected and you don't want to, you know, attack them for
but
doing that.
Is that what we do, tolerate and nothing we can do about it? Because really, I think there's something fundamentally wrong about social media, in the sense that we tend to think of social media as a platform that really encourages diversity. But the matter is we don't see diversity being encouraged by social media, particularly in relation to the styles that we see being promoted here, the kind of pseudo sense of glamour that we are seeing. Everywhere we go, we see, at least here in Beijing, when I venture outside and see young girls, they're always the same style, dressed in the same style, and also fair skinned, lipstick and all. Perhaps this is South Korean style or Japanese style, I'm not sure, but they all look the same to me. So for all the benefits of internet and social media we keep talking about, I don't think they've done a good job at promoting diversity, because really, if you look at the pictures that are popular online, especially on interior decoration, you realize that they're practically the same, while in fact, you know, there are different styles out there. There's Scandinavian, there's European, there's US. I don't see them being popular, being promoted.
But who are you blaming? Who are you blaming? Because that's the question. Because each and everyone of us who is on social media is responsible of the content we put out there. And I will only put content out there of the things that I like, the trends that I like, the foods that I like. I'm not going to sit here and contemplate about somebody who's sitting somewhere in America watching my Instagram page or WeChat page and wondering, oh, did I actually represent the things they like? I don't really care about that. I only care about the things I like. And that's how everybody thinks. So I think, in a way, we just have to accept that social media as a platform has for a long time been setting up such unrealistic expectations of each one of us. And we've just been sucked up into it, such that we don't even know where it begins and where it ends. In the beginning, social media was touted as the best thing that has happened in our generation, where it's free, we can get in touch with our families, we can see what's happening elsewhere in the world. But what we didn't know is how much of our presence online is being used by corporates, for mm-hmm. example, to manipulate the way we think. Mm-hmm. And it's all about manipulation here. And we manipulate each other every day on WeChat, on whatever platform it is. We are on there. We're all guilty of it. So I don't know who to blame.
I guess my point is we should all take some time to think about the effect of social media has on our own way of life. I mean, certainly many years ago, I've realized the kind of influence that social media has on us, especially based on the amount of popular stories that we read online, the amount of the kind of commodities we see on Taobao or other shopping platforms. The result is everybody's practically looking at the same thing. You, He Yang, you may be looking at the same thing as I am looking at, and at the end, the result is our ideas are shaped by what we see, what we experience online. And at the end of the day, we will end up thinking exactly the same. What happens to diversity? And also, on a larger scale, I believe lawmakers should do something about it. I mean, should we just sit idly while social media and technology firms, they do everything, they try to manipulate what we think and what we experience online, our online experience?
I think that, to be honest, like, authorities now, like, starting maybe last year, the year before, they've started actually being in control of this, and especially that's why nowadays you see when there is a random picture or a random product being that comes, you know, just like that on your feed, you would actually see when it says sponsored, so that it's telling you to know that this is an advertisement. So don't believe, you can choose to believe it or not. And that's why they always do this. And also yesterday I was listening to a report where I think it was the British government that decided that for all KOLs who go and promote products, you have to tell your followers that you are being paid for that particular, to promote that particular product, so that people just don't follow you or try to use the same products just because they think you believe in it, whereas you're not believing in it.
Yeah, well, I think these are some possibly temporary measures that I feel, yeah, I understand the intention behind it, but how effective can it be? I mean, it's kind of a different question. And just look at I suppose the ambience that we feel online or offline when somebody's subtly, sometimes quite subtly, trying to show off, whether it's money or taste, but behind that it's still money often. There's this aspiration that is being generated, and sometimes we do crazy things when we when that seed is sold in our heart and we're in depth, somewhere deep down there, and you are pursuing something that ultimately is about money. That is about some big corporation trying to sell you something. And we see a whole generation of Chinese young people, like Lai Ming said, that is spending before they earn the ability to afford it.
But then again, blame their parents who give them credit cards. I mean, as a parent, in this case, I would actually blame a parent. If you if you give a 16-year-old a credit card, what do you expect?
Well, I expect them to make good use of it.
Well, I guess there's a lot of awareness that needs to happen first, that you realize, oh, I'm actually the audience here, I'm being targeted here, that somebody's trying to sell me something, a product or an idea. I think that awareness is the first thing that possibly can generate a little bit of change kind of thing. You're listening to Roundtable.